Hello there and welcome to episode 6 of the Car Wash 2.0 podcast. My name is Dalmain Favor and I am your host today. As always, I'm not alone. I do have a star-studded panel alongside me, the regulars. To your far left, Teko Tsolofelo Modise, the general as they know him. To my right, we do have Linda Figo Ntambo. And we are without Brighton Mhlongo today, if you're wondering. He hasn't gone for a tan, no. We don't have Brighton here with us, but we do have a very capable substitution in the form of Tsepang Malwane, seasoned journalist, esteemed, recently became a father to twins. He's been in the game for almost 15 years, if not longer.
He must give me the recipe for twins, please. I need twins. Yeah, and then I know I'm done.
Yeah, I'll stay away from the grapes and the biltong. Yeah, and tea doesn't drink, so if you enter the formula, there you have it. Gentlemen, so much to get through today. I don't want to waste any time. To you guys, the viewers, thank you so much for rocking with us. Thank you for all of your comments, the good, the bad, the ugly. We accept all of it and we embrace it. Thank you for being part of the show. We also just want to send our well wishes to Brighton. We know that he will be with us next time. Also, thank you to Coach Ernst Middendorp. He was, how refreshing was Coach Ernst in that? Because you don't expect that side of him.
Yeah, but he ran away from the question I asked him.
What did you ask
still
him?
Take it personal.
What keeps him in the country?
The passport.
He's got properties in every province. But listen, he was amazing. So quite a bit for us to get through. There's a lot. The Pirates versus Sundowns title race. That obviously to then naturally the player of the season debate would come in because of it. There's the Bafana and the FIFA World Cup effect, which Donna, you would know a lot about. There is the Motsepe Foundation Championship that we want to look at. Obviously, we have someone who specializes in it. Who's coming up? Who's going down? Who's staying? Who's not? And then there's one other topic that we do want to jump on. I hate to call it this, but I want to call it the Riyad Peterson situation. We're just naming it after him, but we're not basing it on him. So to jump into it, gentlemen. The last time we were here, we asked... We said that this was arguably the most exciting Betway Premiership race that we've seen in a very long time. Obviously, because of that 8-year dominance of Sundowns, you were part of it. And now there was a point where Pirates lost or dropped points against Siwelele. And we thought it's chai because that Sundowns train, once it comes to this part of the season, they don't lose, they don't drop points. Then it sways back into Pirates' favor. As things stand, by the time this comes out, we could have a situation where Pirates would have won their first league title since 2012. That's 14 years of waiting. I was in matric when that happened. Wow. Just want to ask you guys, did we see this coming? I know, Donna, you said we won't make it to the Orbit College match, which is obviously Pirates' last match. But did we see this one happening the way it did?
Yes, I certainly think it was coming. You know, where Pirates were going to put pressure on Mamelodi Sundowns. Why so? I don't think Sundowns were tested in the past 5 seasons. You know, I think match day 26 already, they would have won the league. And the last time, if you look back, obviously memory serves me right, 2018-2019 season, when I was at Pirates, we played a draw against Cape Town City. And the Sundowns went on to win the league. Yeah. And they played their last game against Free State Stars. I remember that game vividly when... Who's the guy?
Mahlambi scored.
And he came on from the bench. Serino got injured. And I was like, oh, okay. I think we're standing a chance of winning the league. With his first touch, Mahlambi scored the goal and that won them the league. Right. But now, looking at where they are, I think the players that are there, looking at when Peter was still there, there's very few that understand the magnitude of fighting for the league till the last game. Right. Okay. So you have a Themba Zwane. Most of the time he's on the bench. You have an Onyango, not on the field as much. You have a Morena, probably might be injured or also not getting much game time. And the rest of the players that are there are not used to the situation that they are faced with now. You know, of fighting neck to neck with Pirates till the last day. And we saw it, you know, with the game against Siwelele, where Sundowns, for some odd reason, played a different ball game, you know, where they went on to score 7 goals but conceded 4 goals. We saw them against TS Galaxy again, open game. And that's not how Sundowns play. Having watched them play, you know, Sundowns play an easy, controlled game. They don't rush to score goals. But now you could see that it was panic. I saw a goal when Mukwena scored the first goal against Siwelele. He didn't know whether to go to grab the ball in the head.
I saw that. He stopped a bit. And
yeah.
Then he
and then he was like, oh, okay, no, let me celebrate. Mm. So at this moment, I think it's pressure. That's what they are faced with. And the way things look, it's going to Eswatini via Orlando. I think 99% loading. If CBC, I'd be doing push-ups at this current moment.
to carry that.
Yeah, you know, just get the push-ups and just get...
Is it good for our football, though, that we don't have one team continuing for... Already they won it for 8 years consecutively, Mamelodi Sundowns. Is it good for our football that there's a change now where we don't have that monopoly, per se?
I'm a Sundowns person, so no. No, but jokes aside, I think we've always wanted to have a very competitive league.
Yeah.
But also looking at where Sundowns get the, you know, the strength from. I mean, they do sign international players that are top coming to the team and really elevate the game. And sometimes you wonder as a competitor, so then where would I find the funds to actually sign this type of players to actually come and help me out? Mm-hmm. And normally good players, teams want to hold on to those players.
Yeah.
So now, with what a lot of players have done this season, I don't think it has done in 10 years as to the amount of money they've spent in signing quality players to actually come and play.
Is that the difference?
Wait, you're in a bottleneck. Hey, this bottleneck there. Oh, sorry. I'm wearing one and then you call me. I think, listen, Figo reminisces to that season, right? But I just want to compare it to now, because of now, like, it's just here. It's something that we can't avoid. Mm-hmm. And it was a conversation in the beginning of the season as to then, will this be the season for a lot of Pirates? Mm-hmm. And you look at the signings, your Apollos, your Moremi, your all these type of players. Normally in big teams, they will never have an opportunity to play at the same time. They did. And they lost first two games, and everybody was chopping Coach Wan.
Yeah, saying you should leave.
They started gaining that momentum. And we all know as footballers then what momentum can do, can help you achieve greater things that no other person can. Yeah. And with that said, is you're looking at Mamelodi Sundowns, how they started. Normally they're capable of catching up and still open the lead.
Yeah.
And because Pirates was like really, really playing well and winning those games, I think that pressure, which for me, it's human to get, you know, get stressed with the pressure that comes with so many games. But I think maybe in hindsight, like Figo said, I'm thinking there's a lot of players that maybe they're used to being dominant and leading the league with so many numbers. Mm-hmm. So you tend to relax a little bit. There's certain games.
You've got room for error, basically.
Yeah. Yeah. And look at this way, man. Look at the results. Look at Sundowns as entirety in the season. You just lost two games.
Yeah.
And yet still, you're not sure if you're going to win the league or not, right? So it just shows that what the type of work that Coach Wadi did. As much as we can speak about Sundowns not winning the league, I think sometimes we dilute the fact that Coach Wadi had to come in and do the business. Mm-hmm. And he did the business without using Coach Rivero's players. Yeah. He came in and did the business with the new players. Mm-hmm. Because at times it's like you find old players that have been there, you know, they're too complacent. They have never won so many, maybe major trophy for the team. So you want fresh blood, fresh people that are coachable. They want to prove a point and hungry. And with that said, when was the last time we saw Orlando Pirates players, many of them going to the national team at the same time actually play? So it just shows you the difference with Orlando Pirates this season. They were just a total different beast. And to give them credit, guys, they really, really played well and most of the time. Yes, you're right. Maybe against Kaizer Chiefs, that's when I felt like the league is gone. Because Mamelodi Sundowns playing at 5:00 on the other side, they're playing Richards Bay. You're expecting a win.
Mm. Yes.
When you speak about Sundowns versus Chiefs, you're talking about a win there. A win there, you know, stretches the league itself. But you just started seeing the team started maybe crumbling in games that are supposed to win, they're not winning. Orlando Pirates on the other side, the stress. Both teams, they would drop points where they weren't supposed to drop points. I wish they could have went all the way and get to 78, 80 points, because that would have been one of the history in South Africa. But yet again, Mamelodi Sundowns, for the first time in 3 years, they're unable to get to more than 70
points.
You know, it just shows you the difficulties in that. But also, I strongly believe that Orlando Pirates this season really, really pushed Mamelodi Sundowns. And I don't think Mamelodi Sundowns were ready to be pushed this way. Mm-hmm. And we need to give credit when it's due.
T, I want to throw it to you. I read a tweet.
Yeah.
that said that it wasn't a bad season for Sundowns, because with the 68 points they have this season, Figo.
Yeah.
In out of the 8 title winning seasons, 4 times that 68 points was sufficient to win it, because they had 67, 65.
The point was they even had 59.
59. Yeah. And they won the league with it. So statistically, it's not a bad season. But then the flip side of it is that, say, all is not lost because of the CAF Champions League final.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a possibility that they end up with nothing. Is that something we think about? Obviously, we are patriotic. We are South African. We want the CAF Champions League to come. But do we see them winning the CAF Champions League as a consolation? Not a consolation.
Champions League is not a consolation, my friend.
Does it
use your English proper?
No. The CAF.
You can speak Afrikaans if you want. We'll understand.
No, listen. Let me phrase it correctly.
Thank you.
So that we don't lose context. I'm saying, does it save the season if you've lost the league, which is your bread and butter, and you win the CAF Champions League?
Yo, it does more than just save the season, in my opinion. I always feel like a Champions League is bigger than a league title. I know there are people who would disagree with me, but in some situations, I would take a Champions League over the league title, because Champions League is so much harder, man.
Yeah.
I mean, I've never been there, but I traveled with the team in 2016 and you get to see the difficulties. I also traveled with Bafana when Sheikh Mashaba was there. You get to see the difficulties of traveling and how tough those situations can be. So I do feel that winning a Champions League would definitely erase everything that has happened this season. And I guess for Mamelodi Sundowns, what helps is that you've won 8 league titles before that, you know?
Yeah.
Yes, it's not ideal to lose it now because you want to win 10 in a row eventually. But I feel that definitely winning the Champions League is so much more greater right now.
And it's possible that they win the CAF Champions League. They have ASFAR. They play them at Loftus. Then they travel to Rabat after that. 2 games. It's 10 years that they've been waiting for this one, Figo, Donna. Mm-hmm. The last one was 2016. You were part of that team. I feel like we need a South African team to.
We need Sundowns.
We need Sundowns.
Thank you.
You are right. We need a South African team, bro. Look, I've always said this. When South African teams compete in interclub football, it gives a good image to South African football, the PFA Premiership.
It does.
That's why now we're exporting so many of our players, you know, abroad. It's because of the brand that we have in the country. Mm. How Sundowns are playing, how they've competed in the Club World Cup, certainly brought scouts into South Africa. That's why Mbekezeli today is not here. That's why Puso Ditejana is not here. And again, look, man, I think Sundowns did their best. Last season, I think they got 65 points. Yes, they got 28 games. They got 65 points. And this season, they get 68 points. And chances are they aren't going to get a chance to win the league. But in all honesty, they are competing above, you know, their weight. If you look at the competitions that they've competed in, bro, some of us would have broken down injuries. FIFA Club World Cup, AFCON, CAF Champions League. Mm. And majority of the Sundowns players are in Bafana. They are competing.
They're still going to the World Cup.
Yeah, I remember after the second game we played against Panama, they came back at 2 days later to play Chipa United. And that just tells you, you know, how experienced and professional those guys are. You know, just to work on their recovery and be able to still perform at their best. You know, at some point, Tebogo Mokoena was like, you could see that he was like fatigued. You know, he wasn't playing his best football. But he had to come up and just show Sundowns that.
Shriek Matthews played 45 games.
Imagine. Yeah. So I think we should congratulate them, you know. Mm-hmm. And at the same time, still congratulate Pirates for the amount of work they've done. But what Diego just said, who would have thought? I for one, you know, eating humble pie, because when Coach Wadu lost his first 2 games,
you say he must go.
No, honestly, when you look at what Rivero had left, those were big shoes to fill. Mm. And when he lost the first 2 games, even I think Pirates fans, if they would be to be honest, they were like, no, I think Lana, we've signed a plumber of some sort. But he's gone.
Did
on.
You play in the first game that he lost? Because
we won 1-0. Yeah. Let us go deep. Yeah, you're right. Okay. But on all honesty, he's just done extremely well with the Pirates squad, you know, and to see him where he is and the work that he's put in, I think both teams need to be congratulated.
Just want to add that you look at even those first two games, go back and look at the lineups and look at how Orlando Pirates progressed to where they are. Not many changes have been done. Still the same players.
Still the same players.
You understand what I mean? So sometimes you need a coach that is stubborn like that, of arrogant like that, to stick to his guns. And that's what he did. He gave so much confidence to a lot of players. When Mbokazi left, they were like, okay, Sharp, who's going to fill that gap? Oh, easy. In Pirates team, you'll never dream of having a CM, Mbokazi playing a center back, Mbokazi being a captain.
And he stayed with that combo, eh? Mm-hmm. Even when
he believed in the
combo. You could expect someone to play CBC.
He conceded less goals. You understand what I mean? So he needs to be given so much credit, because then you're competing against a team that has been winning the league 8 times in a row. For you to win one, which means you must double your effort all the time. You're not playing against, when you're going to play, not to respect your Richards Bay, you actually play against Mamelodi Sundowns, because now you're playing against the numbers, because you know that once they get that form, it becomes very difficult. And I'm sure Pirates, you know, when Pirates were knocked out in NetBank, they were like, okay, now we're focusing on one thing, and that's the league. You know what I mean? And they understand this, then we can win all these trophies, which makes us feel great. But at the end, for you to be the champion of the league, you need to win the league, because it puts you in a different scale, man. And I think they're on the verge of winning it right now. So I would just say, we've seen Coach Rivera struggling winning the league. Coach Wadwi's first season, if he wins the league, I don't know where he will be, in one of those walls at the Orlando Pirates where it will be put, because not many coaches will come in Orlando Pirates and do that, because at times where you fall into default settings, there's moments where I felt like he's going to go back to default setting. He didn't. He stuck to his guns. You see Nduli gets jet. You're thinking, okay, who is he going to use? Makaula? He's back from injury, gets slotted in Mbata, in and out, but he gets slotted in. So he stuck to his guns. And for one that is a football fan to actually see those things, we know that when you win in the league, you don't use 30, 40 players. You're losing 25, 26 players because you want that continuity. You know what I mean? So that's what you get. And once you study those things, and once you have your recovery period very nice, once you have the training, your preseason becomes important. Once your preseason is good, you can push until Feb to March. Really, really, honestly, you can push until Feb to March. Maybe from then and suspension, injuries, but you still have that backup. But I strongly believe that there's a lot of factors that maybe put Mamelodi Sundowns to where they are, but we're not going to sit here and make excuses. Orlando Pirates did well. Mamelodi Sundowns did well, but it was not good enough.
You know, when you talk about where would you put Wadu in terms of the coaches, I think he should be right up there at the top.
Yeah.
And I say this because you look at the treble that Ruud Krol won.
Yeah.
He won it in his third season, which gives you time to work with the team, you know. Mm-hmm. Then you come in as Julio Leal the second season. Okay, he didn't finish the season. Augusto finished the season.
Yeah.
He's taking over a team that won a treble, and it's basically just, in a way, continuing.
Yeah.
And now you have a coach who's fighting against a team that has dominated local football on so much, winning 8 in a row,
mm-hmm.
your first season. And as you've mentioned, they signed so many players, and you have to get them to play together.
Yeah.
You know, this is they like saying it's a points machine, Sundowns. Yeah. And he comes in and he does. So I think personally, he has to be right up there.
Yeah.
As you know,
I just want to throw this one in. I know I'm off ramping a lot, but as an Arsenal fan or Arsenal supporters, as Arsenal fans, which one do you think they would choose? Because they haven't won the league since 2004. Then there's the Champions League as well. If they had to choose, which one do you think they would put above the other?
We need to focus on the Champions League. I know they've not won the league in so many years. Like Tsepang was just saying now, even for Sundowns, Africa is bigger than South Africa.
Sure.
And winning the Champions League, that's why Madrid and Barcelona fans will always argue. Barcelona can win the league, but Madrid fans always go there and say, we've won it 15 times.
15 times.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So I think this, for Arsenal, they desperately need both of them.
As
the Arsenal fans, they both need the EPL and the Champions League.
Champions League.
But if they get the Champions League, bro, that will be huge for them.
I think they'd probably take the Champions League more, because they're also in a space where, you know how their rivalry is with Spurs. Spurs just won the Europa League last season.
Mm-hmm.
And they can actually, there's a lot of banter between the supporters. We've won a European title and you guys haven't. So I think they would take an opportunity to win the Champions League and not be one of the teams in London that hasn't won a European
Trophy. Also, they stand a chance of losing them both.
Hey, that would be a disaster.
I mean, let's look what
that would be a
they
disaster.
Have a chance of losing them both. Mm.
They do.
Do you know what I mean? And Arteta will bounce after that.
Yeah. No. From a local perspective, do we share the same sentiments that Champions League, you would opt for Champions League over? Is that the consensus?
When we were in the position where we were number one on the league and also competing for the Champions League, we had to come up with a plan as to that. When we do play in the league, let's collect as many points as we can so that when the knockout phase comes for the Champions League, you have a room to make a little bit of mistakes, because then your Orlando Pirates, it's maybe 6-7 points away, you know? So you need to have a plan, because whatever the case may be, guys, you can't finish the season with the players that you started with, especially when you're competing in the Champions League, playing the local tournament cup competition as well. It's impossible to do that. And as much as you can speak about the depth in quality only applies when those players actually does play. If they don't play, they're just depth.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it becomes tricky as well when you know you don't have the buffer. To try and tinkle a little bit with the team and not get results, you always go back to your default setting, even though you might feel like, but Linda's been overused. Yeah. But you need to win the game, and you trust Linda. You know what you're going to get from. Even 40% of Linda's quality helps me to win the game. You know what I mean? So it becomes very, very difficult. For Arsenal position now, I think Arteta's playing for his contract. Listen, if he loses Champions League, nobody will fall to him. If he loses the league, I swear to God, he's gone.
That one would be a disaster.
Because then right now you're competing against the best team in the world, which is PSG, hands down, right? So now when you go into the final, we know the contrast of how they're going to play. We know Arsenal, they're going to park all these buses there behind and hit for opportunity with Declan Rice and White.
Cool, right?
Winner kicks.
But you know, you guys, you fuck.
No, we park. Yes. We do. Yeah, yeah, yeah. We've played beautiful football and it brought us nothing for years. Yeah. The last time we won the league, I was in grade 4. So what I'm saying is, if it means this one is going to win us the league, give it to me. Yeah. Anyway.
So the league, for Arteta to also go back to the management and be able to beef up the squad for next season, he needs to win the league. That's what I'm saying. Like, for a team that hasn't won anything big like Arsenal, either or it's going to be celebrated. But there's going to be so many question marks for the league. You understand what I mean? So many question marks for the... You look at them when they knocked out last season in the semi-final of the Champions League. Ah, but it was okay. But now they was focusing on the league. Now you have Manchester City that's not doing well. You expect it to win because you know that Liverpool is not going to stay there for long. You know that Man U is going to come up. Man City is going to come in. So you need to win that so that you also can have a space and time as well to play in the Champions League again. So for Arteta, for me personally, I think he's playing for his contract. Either or, he's going to win. And he also stands a chance of winning both. But I don't see that happening. So you can't choose. And as a footballer, Linda can tell you, when you go into the pitch, even if it's a friendly, my man, you want to win. Yeah. You can't pick and choose which one you're playing. But you look at, I'm telling you right now, if that Rice of yours gets injured or play with half a cent, he's not gonna do anything to Vitinho. He's not gonna do anything for Vitinho and that PSG midfield. It's gonna be a problem. So for me, if I was in Arsenal shoes, and I know the difficulties of the Champions League, and I see that maybe I'll go all out on the league. Because that one is not guaranteed, because you're playing against the best team. If I was playing Milan, okay.
Or Bayern even.
Okay, even Bayern. You actually had a chance. But you're playing against guys on eight of them. Even maybe 8 to 6 of PSG players. Every game they clock 12 to 13 kilometers per game.
That's insane.
Come on, my guy. You know 12 kilometers in 30. 12
is a lot.
And that time you're playing in the midfield. You have Vitinha's clocking 12 kilometers playing in the midfield. You're expecting those from Dembele, Hakimi, people that are playing wide. Yeah, it just shows you. And also, it's a young team. You know, they're playing for the coach. Look at them. They won the league. They never even celebrated. Just shook hands, pa. They're waiting for a Champions League.
Ridiculous.
You know what I mean? So for me, from Arsenal, I'll take the league, though. If I have to choose, but I'll take the league because that league is not coming again. You guys are going to wait till 20 years again.
On that pop note, I want us to move on. Like I said, we do have a lot to get through. The next one, naturally, if we speak about the best team this season, Pirates winning the league, then naturally we have to speak about the best players in the best team. So naturally, the debate then goes to player of the season, right? And a lot of people have been throwing around names. And obviously, if Pirates are to win the league, people would say that that player would probably come from Pirates. Yeah. Sundowns are up there. They probably have a nominee from Sundowns. I want to know from you guys, just off the top of your heads, who do we have in terms of our player of the season nominees? Because I was thinking about it before coming to the show. I'm thinking we probably have Rile Mofokeng.
Yeah.
You have Oswin Apollos.
Linda Mtambo.
But you nominate me, I'm going there.
With that suit.
But yeah. You know, you certainly dressed for the part.
Yeah.
You have to throw in a consistent Tebogo Mokoena. Obviously, he's there. Probably not his best season, but
yeah.
Tebza, because of the standard he set for himself, we now judge him by
that standard.
His own standard. So if he doesn't live up to his standard, but Tebza is there. You can't deny the fact that Tebza is there. Same thing with Ronwen. Can even go a bit wild and say
not Ronwen. No.
Besides, he hasn't had a good season.
I mean, there's clean sheets, but
okay, not okay. So maybe yeah, no. Ronwen. So who do we throw in alongside a Rile, an Apollos, a Tebza? Who do we throw in there?
I think it's those three names. But if we have to also, it's just that obviously there's categories. There is defender of the season. I think that's where you would put players like Siema. I think he's been consistent throughout the season.
Yeah.
His first season at Pirates.
Yeah, and again, if you also look at how he's ending the season, Sibili Bili in the right back position, he's been instrumental for Pirates. I think he gives Mudau competition even in the national team now. I think he gives Hugo Bruce that headache as to who do I then start. Mm-hmm. But in terms of the three football of the season, I think it's those three players. It's Rile, Oswin, and Mokoena. But for me, I'd certainly give it to Oswin Apollos. Why so? He's been consistent throughout the season. Yeah. From the first game, I remember the first game he scored at Orlando, right?
Yeah, it was empty.
Like in school when it was empty and eight.
He played. Yeah. Remember, it was a sold out. Pirates sold out the stadium 11 times this season.
You'd swear that he's been there.
Yeah,
for yeah, as long for
it's a big stat.
Anyway.
Yeah.
No, I have to go there. It's a massive stat. The fact that you can sell out the stadium 11 times.
Yeah, but we talk about footballers. You
okay, sorry. God. No, I just remember that.
As a net, he has a break.
You know how I remember that. Yeah. I took my daughter. I thought that we would sit in the suites. We couldn't because they were serving alcohol there. So we had to sit in the general stands. And I remember just how full it was.
Yeah, yeah.
How unpleasant the experience was for her because she's five.
Yeah, okay.
You get what I'm saying? So I remember it being so full because of that. And now I'm thinking, okay, they've been full like throughout the season. So you're saying that Apollos, because of his consistency.
Yeah, yeah. Apollos followed by Rile and Edheb Mokoena then.
I want to ask you guys about Rile because second half of the season has been phenomenal. But if we look at his first 15 games prior to AFCON, right? In terms of stats, he only had two assists in those. If we're now going statistically, he had two assists. And then he wasn't really influencing games. Of course, there was a lot going on. People were speaking about him possibly moving. I know that there was the big links to PSV, to all the other clubs, and maybe his head wasn't in the right space. Mm-hmm. But then second half of the season comes and we see Rile turn into a beast. We see him really become a man. Do we look at the season in its entirety when we judging for player of the season and say that first half of the season, he wasn't as impactful as he is in the second half of the season? Or does his second half then almost cover his inefficiencies in the first half of the season? Donna?
I would say, first of all, I don't know what the criteria requires for one to be an ultimate footballer of the year, or how the coaches actually, you know...
But Donna, you should know.
You are
football of the season.
The first person to win it back-to-back.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I was chosen. I didn't know that thing was even there.
Where were you performing best? In the league? Or were you just a monster across the board?
No. Go watch the clips. Don't waste my
time. Yeah.
So, but listen, like, for instance, jokes aside, like, we can look at maybe from the first round of the league as to well, how less impact that he had on Orlando Pirates. But yet again, when you look at its entirety, Orlando Pirates haven't won the league in how many years? And who carried them in the second round to actually go to the league? Mm-hmm. So those are things, because even a person that comes into the game, we can still, Linda can win a man of the match coming in at the halftime. because of the impact that he has on the game.
Sure.
You know what I mean? And I've been playing 90 minutes and maybe I'm having the same impact as Linda, but Linda's impact really changed the game and really, really helped us to get those results. So as things stands, really he's the most influential when it comes to results at Orlando Pirates.
In the second half.
In the second round of the season. And not just results, big results. Like he steps up when he's needed most. Mm. In certain instances where goals need to be scored, his day is counted, you know? Yeah. But when it comes to consistency throughout the season, nobody's close to our police. But it's just that in football, now we're looking at the stats. So how
that's the problem about football,
you know,
isn't it?
It's stats-based. It's stats-related. But our police has been consistent. When the national team was trying to qualify, who was there for us? National team. He carried us. Our police carried us. We go to AFCON. Who was shining amongst the rest? Apolis was, you know what I mean? And and those are type of things that I know that people don't want to talk about. Maybe we'll even say that maybe we don't like Rene, but we love really. But I'm saying as things stand, the person that is carrying that Orlando Pirates team, and I know also Linda played for Orlando Pirates, I know how difficult it is to carry a team like that. Mm-hmm. It's a big, big team. And you have no business as an individual to carry a team like that, but really does. And for the fact that they haven't won a league in so many years, if it happens that they do, it's going to be a massive vote, because I'm sure right now it's things that footballers will actually choose him. For a player, they will choose him as to the impact that he has, the decision-making, as young as he... There's a lot of things that you can... And so is Apolis as well. But Apolis came to Orlando Pirates as a mature player. We knew he's a mature... We just needed to play around, surrounded by good players. Yes, you know what I mean? Yeah. Mm. So really, we've seen... So the sentiments that we've seen really... You know, progressing every season, getting better and getting better and getting better. Mm-hmm. And at some point, you're going to ask us then, when is he going to have a season to win, you know, an individual, big individual or what? And this should be the season. But yet again, I'm saying, as much as I understand that really can, but I also say, but if we have to judge based on the consistency throughout the season, and as a footballer, which means every competition you've played, you've been judged based on that, I think Apolis is the one.
No, definitely.
You agree?
Definitely.
You did a special, but you did a feature where you looked at both players and
yes. I believe Apolis should win it. Consistency
you say it with your chest.
Yes, I feel that it should. Consistency throughout the season is number one. And also, I know you're talking about how you get to a new club like Orlando Pirates. You've got good players, but you still need to adapt.
Exactly.
You need to adapt to your new surroundings. And he got in there and it's like he's been at Orlando Pirates for like 5 years already. And he's playing. He's so impactful in these games. So I feel that he should be number one. Rile should be in there because you don't necessarily have to discount the first half of the season. He's been phenomenal in the second half of the season. And there are moments, as much as we say he wasn't impactful enough, there are certain games in the first half of the season where he did make some sort of impact. In the cup games, MTN 8, remember it's judged MTN 8, Carling Knockout, Nedbank Cup, and the league. And those, there are moments. I had a chat with Lucky Lekgwatji when I was doing that feature. And he actually reminded me, don't forget that in the Carling Knockout, this guy scored a goal here. I think it was in the final that he scored, you know. Yeah. So it's not like he had zero impact in the first half of the season. Yeah. And whatever impact he had is enough for the second half of the season. And the performance in the second half of the season just actually elevates it. So he definitely has to be.
And his moments are special. That's the thing with Rile.
They stand out.
They stand out. Yeah. So you find a police scores... I think he's got the more goals than Rile.
No, Apolis. Rile's got more goals than Apolis. But it's very close.
It's close.
It's very similar numbers.
But the Rile's goals, bro, are spectacular.
Three kicks
now. He's added that.
But that can be dangerous when you're voting.
Yeah.
Because you're thinking of those moments. Sometimes you're not thinking about... the season.
Yeah, of course.
And that's how it is. I mean, I've been in voting things before where they give you a criteria. They say you must have played 75%
of the games. Yeah.
He must have not gotten a red card or something like that, but he has to have been disciplined on the pitch. So a lot of people come with, and it's something you mentioned before the show, performances towards the end of the season that you remember
that's
the most.
What you remember,
yes, because they're fresh. It's happened now in March. Yeah. Well, then you forget that, hey, this guy, August and September. last year. Was automatic.
No Football of the Year wins Football of the Year.
In the first half.
Okay. Second round. So last 4 months, she's the pipe. You'll see. She's because that's what we remember you for. And to be honest, my guy, like we were all of us who are football fans who really, really love Urele. We were worried when we see all his peers going overseas and saying, what is it gonna do to his mind? And when he started the way that he started, we all assumed that was the case. And at some point, he got injured, and we felt for him. I remember vividly, guys, even my colleagues, we felt for this boy. We're like, yo, guys, I can imagine what he's going through.
Yeah.
That December break that he went to Bafana, and we really needed that. Because once he came back, he became a different beast. And at times, I always say that it's very, very difficult for footballers to peak twice in a season. Never mind in a career.
In a season,
because he started, he has these moments where he became so special, and then he disappeared. Then he came back in Jan or Feb, whenever the league resumed, then he became this different person. So you go through a slump as a footballer, but once you find a way to find yourself and pick yourself up again, you become unstoppable. And he's where he believes that everything that he touches is gold. And with a player that has that confidence, he can even score from the center line because he has that type of confidence. Mm-hmm. And as a footballer with Lele's talent, with Mahalo's talent, with Apollo's talent, with all these other players, that's the confidence that you need, but it needs to come from you. And really, I don't know where he got it from. And for the fact that, you have a coach that also believes in it. And I also believe, guys, sorry, that change of position just
into the 10.
That changed everything for Rayleigh. If Rayleigh was still a winger, he wouldn't have the numbers that he has. Mm. That change of position, because he's more dangerous, because he's clever playing.
Would we say that he also became a man? We found out via the Pirates documentary that he became a father. A big part of what people were saying about him was that he has potential, but he needs to put that potential into action to say that you now need to score goals, carry the team on your shoulders, and be impactful in games of consequence. That's what they call it. Yeah. Do we see a situation where he has stepped up in games of consequence, big games, games where it matters? Is that perhaps the difference that we've seen with Rayleigh in the second half of the season?
Yeah, but in some big games, he's disappeared. I think the game they played Sundowns at FNB, he wasn't there. I think Tito was one who was lively in that match when they lost, was it 2-1?
Yeah,
2-1. And that's, again, a big blunder. You know, can I just take you to something that's been trending that I made a video on social media. I was speaking about Magesi.
Yeah.
And Magesi took the game to Peter Mokaba against Pirates.
Why?
Know? Yeah, so, no, you know
what? Oh, I thought that's what you said in the
video. No. My point, to that, it takes me back to, that video was solely about Magesi, right? And I had now, Pirates fans, Amaparania, coming to me, Sundowns fans saying, hey, envelope. The other one saying, no, you don't want us to win. But what I was actually saying in that video was, Magesi are bottom of the log. Mm-hmm. They can't be taking games to neutral venues where they are also going to be playing away.
Away, yeah.
That's what I felt when Pirates took Sundowns to FNB. I don't think Pirates could have lost that game if they played that game at Orlando.
But I think it was a logistical.
Yes. I think the stadium wasn't available. But all I'm saying is, it's difficult for teams to play away. Bro, you know when you're a team and you play at home, the conditions favor you. Last season, we saw Kaizer Chiefs take their home game against Arrows to Moses Mabhida. Yes, bro. I think the money's there. The municipality pays. The crowd is there. You get to make something out of that game. But where did they land end of the season? They're on 32 points. Outside of the top 8. Mm-hmm. And now that they're playing their games at FNB, they look at a totally different team. Mm-hmm. If you look at that Magesi in Seshigo, that's the change room. Mm-hmm. Bro, there is two showers, there's a toilet. It's a small change room. When somebody wants to use the toilet, we are all here, bro. So already before you can even enter the field and go compete, mentally, you are fucked. Sorry for using that language. But mentally, you are fucked. So home advantage always plays a role. Mm-hmm. So I felt even with Pirates, had they not taken that game to
FNB,
could have been a different
story. I swear, bro. It's difficult to play Eskotin.
No, it's very difficult there.
Mm-hmm. We have reached halftime of the podcast. And again, we just want to say thank you for watching. Continue to subscribe on all of our platforms. I just want to read some of the comments from you guys as the supporters on the last episode in which we had Coach Ernst Middendorp as a guest. And it said, Dumsanim Simanga says, with so many soccer podcasts coming out in the country right now, I think I've made my pick. Thank you so much for that. Stefan Monyane says, this is the best soccer podcast in South Africa. Keep up the good work. Real Disky Talk. And then Lucky Licheco says, the fact that you are able to attract prominent guests of this caliber makes the podcast highly engaging. Your team also delivers strong, well-reasoned analytical insights. I'll certainly be subscribing and looking forward to every episode. Thank you. And maybe the last one, Itumeleng Roy says, I must say, very informative show, gents. It's very, very exciting when you guys get deeper into the tactical side of football. I'm also happy that Teko is not holding back and being honest. Football 101.
Mm-hmm.
Do you ever hold back?
I do. dude, I hold back a lot of things. I don't think there was, not to talk bad about other guys, but before our generation, we never had football as speak, bro. So we don't have a template to use as to then, okay, this one was outspoken, this one was this. No, none of the footballers before us actually spoke for the game, regardless for themselves, just spoke for the game. So now when we're the first, you need to understand that we're going to catch a lot of strays. And sometimes you hold back because maybe it's not a platform, or maybe it's not educational, it's emotional. So you need to find ways out to then deliver the message. But at the end of the day, we're still a student of the game. I love football, and I'll forever be for footballers. I'll forever defend footballers because I was once was, and I know the difficulties of being in those four lines. And I'm not going to be against the fans because I understand where they come from, because I'm a fan.
Because you're a fan as
well. Yeah, so I understand.
Coach Ern said something so important. He said, guys, are we here to entertain or educate? I think that we managed to find the balance between the two. So thank you guys for rocking with us, and also thank you to the fantastic panel. In starting the second half, there's something that I do want to touch on, and obviously it is the World Cup. It's
it's finished.
Where's my cam?
No, Red Bull. Can have my.
No, there was calm. I mean, how many Red Bulls should you drink? Hey, my guy.
Come through.
Red Bull, come through. Speaking of, I was in Germany with them. Thank you so much. Managed to go and see RB Leipzig. They're coming to play Mamelodi Sundowns. The 29th.
You're a content guy. You couldn't shoot when you're in Italy. You were scared to take pictures. Now you're shooting.
Where is he coming for you? Dublin. On this platform.
No, you said he's shooting. I don't know why I'm the recipient. Nobody getting back to the conversation. I want to ask, do players, the World Cup, by the time this comes out, would be days away, literally weeks. It's not. We don't speak months anymore. It is days away. Do players understand how life-changing a World Cup can be? And I'll give you, and I'll tell you why I asked that question, Figo, Donna, Zepang. It's because the World Cup creates, besides playing in the tournament, you are going to play in the most prestigious tournament in world football because you're playing against the world's best players. But it creates commercial opportunities. It creates endorsements and the opportunity to leave a lasting legacy. We have examples of Spiro Tshabalala scored one goal
in his life forever.
16 years ago, and it changed his life forever.
The
opening goal. He's now flying across the world, playing seven-a-side with legends, basically working for FIFA now. One goal. We have Teko Modise, who was the face of everything.
McDonald's.
I think you were even the face of Polish at some time.
Do you know that when I started, I don't know, I interviewed you when you were the McDonald's ambassador.
Yeah.
I was 2 years into working.
Think about it. 2010. You are from Soweto, you are the face of McDonald's. Mm. And now, 16 years later, you are still on the face of everything. You have about 10 jobs besides this one.
SRC is lying.
Just a disclaimer.
Hey, they're coming for you.
Kune, again, another example. I'm just using these three examples to say that three games in a big tournament like that could potentially set you up for life. Do you think our players are aware, number one, of just how big the platform is that they're getting? And do you think that we are in a position to fully maximize what it means to be playing in a FIFA World Cup as South Africans, thinking long term?
Can I jump on it? Yeah. You know, when you speak about the World Cup, I've never played the World Cup, so I don't want to comment a lot on that. Mm-hmm. But I want to comment on how big that stage is and what it can do. Like you've mentioned, Simphiwe Tshabalala getting the opening goal, how Deko's life changed even off the field, even after retirement. You know, something that I've never told people is, you know, when I was at Chippa United, 2017-18 season, before I signed for Pirates, Mr. Mpengisi comes over to me and he says, Mhlekazi, Pirates want your signature. But Mhlekazi, I don't want to release you. The people of PE, they love you. And we also love you. And I see you've got a family. You're a family man. Mm-hmm. I want to give you a better contract. I want to buy you a house here in Summerstrand because I was staying at Summerstrand in PE. And I want you to stay here for as long as possible. Right? But when I looked at where I was, 28, 29, like the Bruce getting old.
And yeah, you were a late bloomer.
Yeah. And when you look at now, players retiring from football, they retire around 33, 34. And like, so I've got four years. What am I going to do after football, right? Yeah, because after grade 12, I just went on to work. So I don't have, you know, education background or qualifications that would set me up for life after football. So I made a decision there and there when that Pirates wants me. And I said, no ways, I'm refusing to go there. Because why? This is a big club.
Yes.
This club can build my help me build my personal brand, and it can change my life. So the move I made when I went to Pirates, it was never about money, right? What I was offered by Chippa and what I got at Pirates was way less. Chippa was more.
Chippa was more.
And that was less. Wow. But the opportunity that I saw what Pirates could afford me in building a brand for myself and playing at the highest level, opportunities to play for the national team, opportunities to win silverware, that's when I made the move. So with players now, I know how exciting every player is now, or anxious every player is, not to be in that World Cup squad. Because honestly, what we've mentioned is that that's a life-changing competition. If you jump onto that plane that heads over to Mexico for that opening game, your life has already changed. You are amongst 23. How many, if you look at the population, there's millions of boys in the country. If you are amongst the 23 that's going to be there, it means your life has changed. 1995 squad, their lives have changed. Till today, we still speak about Dr. Kumalo, we speak about Phil Masenga.
Double Doc.
Right. So that's the only thing I can say is every player that has an opportunity, if Melioka, Pau, Tandaze, I don't know.
What do you do? Or your multi man.
Or your multi man, bro, but just make sure that that plane does not leave you behind.
Can I ask something? Because the way you're phrasing this question, you say, do players understand how life changing it is? And then you bring on the commercial opportunities. Is there no danger of then going into the World Cup and putting yourself under too much pressure to deliver because you're wanting these commercial? You're looking at Spiwe Chabala, like you said.
Yeah.
You want to be like that, and you look at the opportunities that he's been able to get. Then you go to the World Cup with that mindset. Does that now not mess you up a bit? Because
it's a brilliant question for him. Because you went in with pressure. You were our number 11. I think you were just one player. Oh, you were the poster boy of the World Cup.
McDonald's, they came before the World Cup.
No, what I'm saying is, till today you have people commenting saying that Teko was shot in the World Cup. If you go and watch the games, he wasn't. He played really well, but there was pressure, there was an expectation of Teko to deliver on that stage. So again, valid question to the right person.
Look, I guess for footballers who will be part of the 23, like Linda said, it's fortunate for those who are able to handle pressure and stress. Unfortunate for those who can't, because you can only think as to then how big it is until you get there. You can only realize the importance of World Cup until you step onto that pitch and realize that, I'm not playing against my case here, right? So fortunate that those ones who are exposed, and if you look at the 2010 squad, we're not exposed to continental football. We're not exposed to stress. I was playing for Paris. The big games were like two, Chiefs, Sundowns. The rest of them not taking shots at anybody, but it's still the fact. Only those games are stressful from emotions, from pressure from the fans. Those are the only ones, unless a cup final, of course.
Yeah.
But then when you go into the World Cup, it's being a face. It was so challenging because it's not like
I had a meeting with somebody to tell me what the expectations are.
Sure.
I knew that I had to play the way that I normally play. Mm-hmm. I was never criticized before, before the tournament. After the tournament, I've been criticized till today, right? Mm-hmm. But then again, it's you have to be in those spaces as a footballer for you to see yourself, to gauge yourself as to how far you can go. Because I mean, if you have to be counted as your Dr. Kumalas of the Chawupulas of this world, you need to be on those type of places. Mm-hmm. Because nobody criticizes Nkomo. Mm.
Yeah.
You know what Nkomo is, right?
A
kui.
Yeah,
so nobody criticizes Nkomo. So we all criticize good footballers. Mm-hmm. And it's okay to be criticized. And I'm saying to those guys, as much as it is life-changing opportunity, as much as it is a world stage, but just remember one thing, which is very, very important. Play football. Because then we speak about the occasion. Trust me, World Cup, it's a big, big occasion.
Yeah.
Because we've seen top players getting swallowed in the World Cup. We've seen superstars, non-average players being superstars in the World Cup. Who knew about that guy that played for he went on to play Real Madrid? The one who scored
James Rodriguez.
Mm-hmm. You know, he became a star in 2010. He went on to play for big teams. Then they backed at him like, you are just average.
you're average. Yeah. But, scored a good goal.
He scored a good goal. But it's just that it just opened up those type of opportunities. And I think for me, the disadvantage that I had was I went to the World Cup without the contract that I was fighting for to go overseas, because I don't want to go to a World Cup and try and impress. I wanted to sign a contract
so that I can play my own normal game.
But then when you're playing with all those things in your mind, you're trying to impress, you want to leave the club, you want to do this, you end up, you know, losing yourself in that moment. And now, I just wish that any player that is going there, regardless whether it's Rele, regardless Apollos, whoever that is going there, don't have that mentality, because then it affects you, how you feel about the tournament. There's moments right now that I don't remember in 2010. People like, you remember? I'm like, I don't remember, because it was too many things in my mind, right? And even after the World Cup, like, yeah, because of the endorsement. But the endorsement came before the World Cup. And I still won Football of the Year the second time with those endorsements being in place. It's not like the endorsement, they came at 2010. They came before that. And I won Football of the Year back to back. So people don't care about those things because the expectations were there. And of course, with all the guys that are going there, there's a lot of expectation. That's why I said in the first episode, I hope that they're not going to do really what they did to me. That's what I said in the first episode, because we have so much expectation.
You were trending for a while for saying that. I don't know if you saw people clipped that part, and then they were like, Teko has a point, because there was a point where they were calling you an Orlando Pirates hater.
Yeah, but they still do even today. guys, let's move on. I mean, me and the chairman, we're cool. Me and the club, we're cool. I've never hated the club. We're cool. So things must just keep on moving. But yeah, but when it comes to what Linda said, it will change everybody's life. That one that gets to the point, I promise you, it will change everybody's life. But it's then you progress to become better. Because as much as it's changed Shaba's life, and as much as it's changed my life, but there's a lot of things also we needed to do after the World Cup. So like after the World Cup,
it's
and then
life ends.
It
just elevates you.
Because there's the flip side of it. People who played with you, Lucas Twala, he's not as prominent as maybe you guys are.
Maybe he is.
The show able.
Business wise.
What I'm saying is, his face is.
This guy.
Do you?
Yeah, he knows what you mean.
He knows what I'm saying. Yeah. But he's like this guy.
I just wish the guys that are going there, I just hope that Safa will possibly, before the guys fly out, bring in guys that were played in the World Cup, just to have a word and share some sort of advices, because we were the first in the continent, and the pressure that we had, I don't think these guys have. Number one, you're playing away, you don't have that type of pressure. So we were the first of the first. And the pressure that we had, at some point, it helped us to play a little bit better in the second game. In the Mexico game, we played better. It helped us a lot, right? Mm-hmm. And I just hope right now, with all the football that everybody has played, it's not like we're going to start with players that played 12, 15 games. Everybody has played over 40, 50 games.
A lot of games.
So with that said, is they need to understand that we fully, fully, fully support them. And I just hope that even when they come back, we'll still have the same love that we have when they left to Mexico. Because at the end of the day, these are our boys and we still want them to see them good. But I wish they can actually go to the knockout phases. They can just bypass what we have done in the group phase. And then let's take it. Who knows, guys? Who knows where we can go?
Are you playing in the Legends game on the 8th of June? Bafana legends
against Mexico legends.
No, he must play.
I don't know.
He has to be.
Yes.
The, the minister announced it.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
Your name, your name was on the list. His name was on the list.
But I'm not on the database of ministers. Hey, minister.
Dear minister. Where's his camera?
The Mexican one.
Our number 11. He doesn't have a mohawk now. He's got dreadlocks, but he's here. Minister, he needs to be on that plane. To go and play the Legends game, because that will be amazing as well. It's on the 8th of June. Then our first game is on the 11th of June. So this is like a nice little curtain raiser before that game. But it will be nice to relive that moment. Yeah. Some of us that were a bit younger, I mean, I was in grade 10 when that happened. So now that you get what I'm saying. So it would be nice to experience it. You were great pirates. I want to move over to a segment, gentlemen, called Money Matters, where we discuss a bit of the financial side of it. You guys would know it better than we do. Because it's a hoodoo topic in football, finances. It's always, we a lot of people, as fans, we see footballers as people who are paid well, number one. You've got time because you go to training from 9 to 12, and then after that you have the whole day to yourself, and then you only play Wednesday, and then you play Saturday again, and then everything else in between. So we don't see the truth of it. A few months ago, I wrote an article called "To Riyadh or Not to Riyadh," and I was focusing on Riyadh Peters, but it's not necessarily about him. I was saying that, would you, as a player, sacrifice game time for financial stability and trophies? Let me paint the picture for you. So Peters, as an example, in this case, is at Sundowns for nearly a decade. I think in that time, he hasn't played more than 20 games, right? Statistically speaking. Riyadh, in terms of his CV, is one of the most decorated players we have. I think he has close to 10 league titles. He's won the AFL. He's on the brink of being a CAF Champions League winner. And he's respected by his peers, by his teammates. Everyone who speaks about Riyadh speaks very highly about him. They say he's a professional, consummate professional at that. Shows up every day, does his best at training, and he never moans, right? So now I want to ask you guys, what matters more? Playing every week or the financial security and getting trophies? Because when you get to the twilight of your career and you look at it, what have I achieved? Which one matters more? Because another argument is that the debit orders, when they come, because you want to send your child to a school that starts with the name Saint, and you want to live in an affluent area, and you want to drive a certain car. So when those debit orders come, they do not ask, are you playing or not? The debit orders come regardless. So again, I ask you, what is more important at a certain age also, because that is important to take into consideration, playing every week or the financial security and trophies? And obviously, I'll start with the footballers for this one.
I'm glad you mentioned age as well. I think once you go above 30, what's important is securing a contract and making sure that you get minutes here and there, like be there and play as much as possible. Because you know, in South Africa, once you get over the age of 30, you are now in your, in the twilight of your career.
Yeah.
So what's important at that time is obviously, I think, securing the bag. Mm-hmm. But when you're young, you want to win trophies, you want to win accolades, and it's different for everyone. For me, personally, as a young boy, I just wanted to win. Firstly, I wanted to play in the professional league.
Sure.
Secondly, I wanted to win trophies so I can leave a legacy, for the ones that come after me. And the money wasn't so much, a problem. Remember that you get these debit orders once you get big contracts. There's no bank that will give you a loan for a house or a car when you're not earning anything. So you can't be speaking about money when you have not
done anything
and have made a name for yourself. So in Riyadh's case, he knows, and it's difficult for goalkeepers, bro.
Yeah.
Goalkeepers, that's a delicate position.
Only one can play.
And then he competes with Ronza.
So that's a delicate position. It's difficult. For us infield players, if I play as a 10 and there's no position for me, I can move on the left or move on the right and find myself a space. I can be flexible in the team. But for him, it's quite difficult. I think he's the one that maybe he should be our next guest, to get to learn that, because now we'll be just assuming what we think about Riyadh.
Sure, but what I'm saying is that he's an example here, like similar to what we did with Kwaiba, where we spoke about players maybe succeeding at so-called smaller teams.
And not
he was just the example we used. So similar with Riyad Donner.
Yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, guys, when I think Linda, I don't want to dilute what Linda said. I think it becomes important as Ben at what age you make that type of decision. And he's fortunate enough to make that type of a decision on a team that it really pays well. Because if it didn't pay well, he would have left a long time ago. Yeah. Let's be honest. Yeah. And when you're family, once you have a family and a responsible father, your first thing that you want to do, you want to take care of the people that you should be taking care of. And that requires money, right? Yeah. You can't sell the medal. I've got medals. I don't know where to sell them. I can't sell anything.
You can't sell the medal.
Can exactly. Auction them.
You know, so the thing is, like, it just depends. For me personally, because I've never been in that situation before.
Yeah.
For me personally, I don't know how many times I've said this. I went the only time in my career when I knew as to then how much I was going to earn before I even signed the contract was it Super Sport. Not even Super Sport. It was Pietersburg Pillars and Sundowns. In between, I never cared because I was really, really, like Linda said, I wanted to play in the professional setup. I wanted to be one of those guys that are counted, right? And I knew that being given an opportunity, it'll change my life regardless. Even if I get 1,000, it's more than what I was earning in Gogas. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So that 1,000, I can rent a room in PMV, like, and still pay.
And Donna, you're right. Also, what also contributes is where you come from.
Where you come from.
But if you come from Soweto and you've played amateur, it's a huge success to turn professional.
Even if you play for relegation team.
In the Kasi.
It's for my jersey or ever.
Oh, bro.
Every boy is dreaming of that.
Yeah, yeah. Because you want to change.
You're the one.
It's a win for the Kasi.
You want to improve your life, regardless of then how much, because how much improvement it is subjective, but you want to improve your life. So once you get into the professional setup, now you get to taste other things. So like, okay, let me move here, let me move this somewhere, let me drive this better car, whatever the case might be. But at the end of the day, it's like the lot of people that needs to be taken care of, they are already taken. That's why you're working so hard. Mm-hmm. So when you get to that position where now you're playing for the love of the game, at some point, you need to be a businessman. And that's why now the age becomes important. So now, Riyad, maybe like as an example right now, he got to a situation where he understands then, if I do get game time somewhere else, the benefits that I have here, I'll never get them anywhere else.
Yeah. Probably, anything after that.
The pros and cons.
Yes. Yeah. Because I'll give you an example. When I left Mamelodi Sundowns, I was one of the highest paid players in the league. I don't know. You know these things. The people who assume how much you're earning, but Sundowns at the time still is, right? When I left, it was because it's a risk that I would never advise anybody to take. When I left, I left the team because I was starting to fall out of love with the game, because of when you reach a certain age, what you're experiencing. When you reach a certain age, I don't know, but I'm just assuming when you reach a certain age, you're becoming a problem. Because of your experience, you reach a certain age in a dressing room, you are a problem, right? Okay. So I was like, you know what? I've seen other guys falling out of love with this game. They end up hating it. I don't want to, right? And at that time, it's not like I knew that I was going to be here. I knew what I was going to do after that. I just said, I've done so much. I've sacrificed so much for this round thing. At some point, this thing will give me back. When I left, I went to Cape Town City. Cape Town City, I was earning what I was making. From a bonus.
Cape Town City
was your bonus.
Yeah. Right? Mm-hmm. So now you end up, you have to sell other things. You have to downgrade. And actually, me moving there helped me now to understand that I can still be me with all the downgrades. Right? So what I'm saying is, like, I had to leave so much money to understand that money's not everything for me.
Yeah.
But also I didn't have maybe Peterson's responsibilities, or maybe I didn't have his ambitions. We don't know what ambitions that he has. But I'm just saying, everybody else in the entire world of sports, we need to, even as long as you're working, like you sign a contract, we're all doing this for money.
Mm-hmm.
Passion doesn't pay.
Yeah.
Let's get that clear. Passion doesn't pay. So when you get to a certain situation, you're lacking a PSL when you have a better contract. Better contracts normally come at 28, 29. They don't come twice. So when you have your best money, it might be on 29, 30. As a goalkeeper, maybe 32.
Sure.
That's it. And for the fact that you are there, you're able to take care of your family, that's it, my guy. Because at the end of the day, we can sit here and speak about legacy. When you're dead, you don't take your legacy with you. Mm. You don't take your medals and your trophies with you. At the end of the day, you want to make sure that your kids go into Saint.
Saying something.
Yeah.
Saying
something. The wife, if they wants the bag, you can get the bag. You know, the kid wants
They live a comfortable life.
You lead a comfortable life, so, and it comes with money.
I was thinking about it. Bonds, 20 years? You would take out a
That's task. A scam.
Six years. Mm. Let's say 5 years if you have the balloon and all of that. So now I'm saying that if you have a three-year contract, let's say you come into the league, you're a late bloomer, you come into the league at 25, and you go out of the league at 32, you have 7 years. So if you are taking out a 20-year bond and you have a car for 7 years, you have a very short time span in which you need to maximize that. Is that maybe something that is not taken into consideration as much?
No, but if there's one thing about footballers, one thing they need to commend footballers are, we are risk takers. Okay. The decisions we make are extraordinary. Mm-hmm. With the year contract, I get a bond of a 20-year bond, buy a house. Mm-hmm. I don't know what's going to happen after that. I might get injured. Life might end for me in football. Mm-hmm. But that's one thing about footballers. Yeah, footballers are brave human beings.
Yeah.
You buy a Golf 7 GTI with a 30,000 salary. Those are footballers, bro. Like those guys live
different life.
Yeah, it's different.
Is that brave, and sorry to use this word, or stupid?
No, no. In terms of buying a car, a Golf 7 when you're earning 30,000, yeah, that's... Financially, it's not viable. Yeah, it doesn't make sense. But all I'm saying is, that's one thing about footballers. Footballers are brave, bro. Brave human beings. The decisions we make. Because imagine, if we all had to get 20-year contracts for us to qualify for a bond, then we would all not have houses, mm-hmm, right? But we find a way to then end up paying for those houses, yeah, paying for those cars, living the life that we put ourselves in.
And also, I strongly believe that maybe, because this is a very educational conversation. We need to bring some sort of from a financial institution.
Financial, yeah.
Because I strongly believe that we entertainers, just like musicians, just like actors, we need to have some sort of subsidy from SARS or whatever the case, yeah, is, because we're contractually based.
Yeah.
So my career can end tomorrow. Mm. You know what I mean? And like we say in the league, we don't have a standard or a base of a contract. When you get into the league, they might pay you whatever they want to pay you. There's, yeah, guys, I'm sure till today, they're still earning 15,000, mm, which is a robbery, right? Mm-hmm. But then there's guys also that are earning way more, but they're not playing. Mm-hmm. So the problem is that imbalance forces us now to live a certain way, because we don't care about what's going to happen to us tomorrow, which is stupidity, but also it's those risks that we have to take. It's not like you're going to sit there and be like, hey, pull a lamb, then get stuck, then I'm unable to go to training. When I get better, I want to better my life. And sometimes the perception helps. The Golf 7 now with the 30,000, the perception helps. Mm. Okay, he's living the life. But also understanding the responsibility that you put yourself in helps you to work a little bit harder. Mm. Others, they fail. Others, they actually work harder because now they know that I've got a house that I need to pay for. I've got a kid that I need to support. I've got a car that I need to pay for. So it works on individuals. But also, I strongly believe that with all the system that is there, especially for footballers, I'm not an actor, I'm not a musician, but for footballers, it's a scam, because I've always said that there's no South African footballer that can make so much money to be able to sustain themselves after retirement for 10 years. It's not possible. Because they're saying you're a late bloomer when you get in at 25. So at 25 is the standard fee that you should be getting as a 25-year-old, because you're still regarded as a late bloomer, a youngster, yeah, at some point, until the relays have changed all the narrative, right? Mm-hmm. So we have a perception also that for you to get a better salary at that age, at 25, 26, you need to play for Big Three.
Yeah.
That's a perception. He speaks about cheaper giving a better offer. You know what I mean? So it's just that for me is for the fact that the system is still the same, we the risk are still going to be the same regardless of what generation is going to come, because not everybody's going to be able to do what we're doing after football. We're very privileged to be here to be speaking of the game, the things that we still love. We're not talking mathematics, yeah, we're still talking football, things that we love. So we're very privileged. And for the fact that we're here, we're just hoping that other guys actually can see other opportunities and other avenues to actually, you know, increase their legacy, increase their brand, and to be able to be sustainable after retirement. Because football, my guy, 29, he's right, 29, you buy a house, it's got a swimming pool, but you can't swim.
But it just, you started to use that in conversation. I've got house that has a swimming pool. By 33, now Sundowns wants to let you go, and now you're going to Chiba. Chiba's paying you less. Now, we've seen the stories, guys. The house now is getting
repossessed and all of that.
And to those financial institutions or people that knows finances or the fans, they say, footballers are stupid. Mm. You don't understand, because they are not making enough money for me to actually live a comfortable life. So now I need to have this perception that I'm living a comfortable, because every Saturday you see me on TV, so you think that I'm making money. Mm. Actors now, they came out, they complain about it. Mm. So now it's not just us as footballers, in entertainers as well. That's what I'm saying, from an entertainment point of view. We need to get some sort of subsidy. We're not a 9-to-5, guys. You buying a ticket to come and watch us on a Wednesday or on a Saturday, okay, sure, but you have retirement plan. So now I have to now go to Sanlam, are you listening? I'm going to have to go to Sanlam there and open one, and I start on a higher payment plan. Whenever I'm downgrading teams, I'm also downgrading that, so I'm depleting that. And we're putting that on 60 years. I'm thinking that I'm going to live until 60. You know what I mean? So footballers' lifespan is very short. So nothing changes, my guy, this is still going to be the same. And now we're going to find players that are in the future. We're going to find players that will neglect football and do all these other things outside of football. Because not everybody will be attached to a brand. You look at all the big teams. Tell me one player that has a big brand being attached to him. One. I'll wait. None.
Now.
One. Yeah. A big brand that is attached to them.
By brand, you mean what?
No, any brand.
Dibsa's with Liberty.
Dibsa's with Discovery Bank.
Oh,
it's Discovery Bank.
It's not Liberty.
No.
Is with Discovery.
Well, one of them.
No.
But that is breaking the mold.
No. What I'm saying, what I'm trying to make you understand is if like the rugby guys, see as a Red Bull. Mm.
Yeah.
It's not GB Jabba. You can see it's with the Red Bull.
Mm.
You understand what I'm saying? And then if Debzo was with Discovery, he would be on the billboards. He's not. What I'm trying to tell you is in all the footballers that are playing right now, whether top teams or not, brands are scared to associate themselves or to attach themselves to footballers because of the narrative that is being spread out there
pushed
by the footballers. So now we're going to have footballers in the next generation that will be securing the bag more than taking
chasing their dreams.
We've seen now there's players that are famous now on socials and all other things besides football, because that's where the life is going, because I need to find other avenues to make money, because I'm not making enough money. There's teams that are still not paying bonuses. And this team, you know what I mean? There's teams that are giving you a signing on fee instead of saying it's an image right. Because signing on fee, it runs over dome because you don't understand it's image
it's
rights.
It's a bulk amount of money that you get. So you don't care about it.
But it's image rights.
It's your image rights. That
exactly. But that time, my image now, when the league itself promos the league, my face is there. Somebody paid for my face to be there, but I'm not getting shit from that. Oh, excuse me. I'm not getting shit from that because we don't know understand the image rights. You understand what I mean? So so the Messi's and the Ronaldo's, those are people, the Neymar, Neymar's one of the best in terms of that.
In terms
understands of image. Owning his images. So in South Africa, we don't do that. So we're always going to find, so I'm just scared as to then, the Stebza bunch, the Makaula, all these other guys that are playing right now, I think it's the last bunch that we're going to have to enjoy, because everybody else, we're going to have so many influencers
and not full footballers.
Yes, man. What's said?
My thing is, when do we also remove perception? I think you mentioned perception. Why is it that footballers have to show that they're living a certain type of lifestyle? Why are you putting yourselves as footballers under pressure to then show that I drive the BM, I drive... I'm saying this, Linda, because you both mentioned that football is this long. I know how much I earn where I work at, and I know what I need to do with that money to not only support my family, but to also invest in whatever I invest in. So why is it that we are not removing ourselves from this is how footballers live? We know that the lifespan of a footballer is not long. So why aren't we putting things in place to let them know that you won't be here forever?
Bro,
you need to spend better. Yes, you're not getting 100,000 that you'd get at Sundowns. You're getting 30 at, let's say, cheaper Golden Arrows. Mm. This is what I need to live with. And I need no need to show that I drive a Polo, GTI, or a BMW 3 Series. When do we then stop?
You know what's the problem again? Football is 90%+ of footballers come from similar backgrounds. That for one. So, okay. Skulekaya, it was a family house. Somebody sleeps in their kitchen, someone sleeps in the dining room. So there's absolutely no way that when I make it pro, I'm not leaving that place and I'm buying a house. Whether I afford or I don't, now I'm a professional. I need to move away because I need to have time to rest. I need to have my own space. So already, I am moving away from what I grew up under.
Yeah.
There's absolutely no way, bro. I'll give you an example. When I bought my first car after getting my Provident Fund from the packaging firm that I used to work at, I worked there for 5 years and I got 36,000 Provident Fund, right? That's 5 years. And when I got that money, bro, I bought a Golf One without even having a license. Just bought that car so that at home, there'll be
a car.
So some decisions aren't financial decisions. You understand? Like, I could have taken the 36,000 and invested it in something else. But now I'm chasing this dream that I've always seen from outside. It's the pressure. That's why other footballers, you know, fall into peer pressure. That when this one buys a Golf 7, you don't know where this guy comes from. And sometimes you only recognize that later. When you are a groot man, then you start making wise decisions. But when you are young, bro, you look at parking lots of all these teams. They drive similar cars.
Oh, that's Sundowns too.
Yeah, they drive similar cars.
They drive similar cars. Then you want to tell me, these guys have the same personality. No, it's because that's what's trending. And these boys are young. They don't have financial literacy. The game does not afford to give them the knowledge they deserve when they are still young. Imagine if teams, like how, I remember, may his soul rest in peace, Ngonga. Passing on, there was a story that team used to play for.
Is
going to pay his own niggas or whatever that he had invested in. That's what these are conversations we need to have with the PSL. I tattoo nyengani. Look, bro, if you sign a contract, but 20% of your salary is going to be taken away and invested into whether Old Mutual or Sanlam, whatever bank that is there, then you get used to saving from a young age. But now those things aren't there. So we are cooler, you get your man. Close to a million.
A million a month.
A month.
We spoke about it. It came out officially now, a million a month. And then I think Puso is on 430 something. Bongo Kushe Hongwan is on 1 point something million rand a month. And then I think there's three. So Mbogazi
but also please understand it's 1 million rands in South Africa, not that side, because you still have to live according to the lifestyle. The cost of living it's way different. So just to add on what Linda is saying is we find ourselves in these situations because we are surrounded with. We are dreamers, first of all, as footballers. That's how we live in. We dream. If I see Linda driving, I'm seven, I'm like, one day when I get an opportunity, that's what I'm going to do. Right? Yeah, because we lack personalities. That's why when you have a personality, you've always been excluded in things. So isolate, because we want to. We believe that once you think like us, you do the same thing as us, you must fill into this mode. So now when we talk about the system it is so bad that we don't have those things in place when we should. Because then we, as much as we understand, even our employers understand that the career of us is very short, but they're necessarily what they're going to do is just to tick the boxes. They'll bring somebody in the suit and speak about finances, get their business card and then leaves. And then that's it. But now you took me from Gungundlovu FC to come to your team. When I was playing Kasi tournaments, when we won, we share $100 four ways. Then from here, you're signing me, I'm earning 10,000, 15,000, and then you just let me be. How? You understand? It's my first time. I've never opened a bank account. Now you literally taking me to the bank, to the bank open. Too. So now I'm doing all these things first. And the first thing that I want to do, Ibon Dalase Ka, it's like this. So we all going back. By the time everything is fine at the back, I need to sort myself out. But by that time, I'm 29, I'm 30.
It's late.
It's late by that time because the first contract doesn't set me up for anything. You understand what I mean?
Fixing it at home.
Yeah, you're fixing.
But by the time you focus on yourself.
You can't because we have similar backgrounds. You know that once I make it, I know that my cousin needs to change school, this and this. You're taking responsibilities. But so by the time your responsibilities are free flowing, when you're like, okay, cool. Now everything is fine. Let me take care of myself. You're 29, 30. By 29, 30, now you're tired of staying in a duplex. You because other people are making noise.
They're making noise upstairs.
Yeah, you want to move because you want to rest. You've got a Champions League. Kids, you want to this.
The kids are flipping
on the floor.
They want to this. They want to this. No, you want to do. And also, like, look at it this way. Because you're on TV all the time, look at the risk as well. You don't want to go and find a standalone house because you know the risk that comes with that.
That comes,
you're on TV. So now you want to go to a complex estate. You buy an estate. Estate, they don't come cheap. By the time you buy an estate, now you're getting injured. Oh, it's cocooning now. The coach is doing this. The coach is doing that. But it's 2 years into your contract. And then now, even if they do cancel your contract, now you have to fight in court with these people. You know what I mean? So so there's no system that is in place for soccer players to leave after football. They want us to come back and be under 10 coach and not taking shots at under 10 coaches that have played football. But I'm saying they want us to come back and give back to this. But we want to give back when we're happy, we're nice in life, we're okay. But the system is here. It's, dude, I can go now as a 15, 17-year-old that has just signed a PSL contract, go to Old Mutual, what, sign those things and what. I'm telling you, with the lifestyle that I have, the demands of my lifestyle, being on TV every day, I'll end up not paying this thing. How many people you know that they bought a car, come COVID, and then they cancel the insurance because we're not driving? Immediately there's open car accident.
Accident, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Canceling the
insurance, my guy. So even grown-ups are making those type of mistakes. So it's because it's sometimes, like Linda said, we're not making this decision based on finances. We're just making those decisions because I understand that where I am right now, my Mudisa name was never respected whatsoever. My uncle's a drunkard. My what. So I need to bring some sort of respect in my family. And for me to bring some sort of respect, I need cash. I don't need to think of myself. That's why I'll wear track suits. There's, I said TB, and I'll wear them until the sponsors, because I'm trying to fix it home. But once I'm done at home, guess what? I'm going to Diamond Walk.
Louis Vuitton.
You understand? And by the time I'm going to Diamond Walk, I'm 29. It look like now I'm in a crisis.
Midlife.
Midlife crisis. Because I'm not. And also to get that nice nyana, yellow bone stove. Yeah. I need to drive something fit with automatism. I can't be driving a stick with this.
Donna, let's park it. The referee has just left it. The referee has just lifted his board, and we are now going into referee's added time.
Optional time.
Then. Yeah, optional time. I want to go to something a bit more. I wouldn't say somber, but...
No, but Clint, we need to have a financial institution that this. We rate, or if it's a very important...
As a guest, net.
Yeah, yeah.
It's very, very definitely. Sure. Extra time. Referee's added time. I just want to touch on something that we've seen, and maybe that is a bit worrying. In the Motsepe Foundation Championship, I know it's not something that we speak about a lot, but there's something happening there, guys, with Limpopo teams. I know, T, you've dedicated yourself into covering the league this season. A lot of insights from there. We've lost how many teams from
Limpopo?
From Limpopo.
There's Baroka gone. Black Leopards are gone, although they had their court case now with arbitration. Yeah, on the field, they are gone. They've had such a disastrous campaign. And you look at from the time it started, you had a situation where Leopards had a transfer ban. Play your first game with 10 players. You have a defender who's your captain who now is forced to play as a goalkeeper. And
there's a game that they didn't play, no?
They had the game postponed against Upington, I think it was in September last year. Because of a lack of players, and they were trying to get the PSL to sort it out. But one thing I've noticed from teams in Limpopo this season is just a total disorganization. Like, I don't understand how teams that were once in the PSL, top flight, same like Baroka, who have their own
village.
They've got a guest house there. Yeah. You know, they're doing so well for themselves. And now you find yourself...
Where teams didn't have sponsors. They're global on their shirt,
Where it is. Teams down there don't get sponsors. Now you're gone. What happens? Trying to fight your way up from the ABC Motsepe League is a nightmare.
How big of a blow is it that we lose? You playing for a Limpopo team. I know you guys are based in Joburg now, but you play for Limpopo. You came through at two Limpopo teams.
Ria Stars and
Pillars,
ne?
Yeah. So for those who think I'm a late bloomer, I made my debut at 18, 17 for Ria Stars. I played 8 games my first season, so I'm not a late bloomer. So those who say, hey, I came to PSL 25. No, I was 18.
Yeah. 18.
No, but also like the team in Limpopo, I think they all run their teams like as puzzle shop. And I think maybe the difference between Skukuni and the rest is because Skukuni is based here.
I think that helps you guys a lot because then you're exposed to different things.
Because those Malachi brothers are very business.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you cannot tell me that David Tidiela is not a businessman. That's why he makes his money. You cannot tell me those are the global. He's his company. So he makes, mm-hmm. he's a business person. But it's just that the way they run the teams, it's similar to Chipa Mbenge's, with due respect to Chipa. It's similar. It's 2 months, two games in, you're fired, this one out. And because they want to get so involved, they love the game so much, they want to get involved in everything that is happening there. And therefore, you don't allow the team to be the team, you don't allow the coach to be themselves. And then before, because you want to be involved in all these things, look at all the teams that really, really, the club owners are too involved. Look at how they're doing. It's a disaster, right? So because you don't trust your plan, you employ a Figo to come be a coach, you listen to the interview, like, Figo's my guy. Two games in, Figo on some team. Imagine coach, what if that was the case? Wouldn't we speak about Lando Pires right now? So those are the things that we have coached with teams in Limpopo that never trust the process, and it doesn't start with Lepers.
They got rid of Dan Malisela.
Was doing so well.
It's been like that. In fact, there's a lot of teams. There's a history of teams. There was at some point, there was like three teams that were on the verge of getting promotion to the first team. Three of them from Limpop. And I said to myself, can they not please, because which stadium are they going to use? They're all going to use one stadium. You know what I mean? That was before Sushuku was done.
Was an option, yeah.
Hey, but I'm just saying, teams, they do have guys that have money, but they just love the game. I don't think they love, they really understand what it takes to run a team, but they just love the game because it helps. Let me tell you, from a business point of view, it's like, when you have a team, hey, my friend, you get calls from people that wants to do business with you. Because you're using a team like, hey, by the way, I've got Baroque. Oh, why they play? Hey. Using that as a tool to further all other business ventures as well. But in the PSL, I just hope, in Chaplas, you covered, you can tell us enough. From the PSL, I just hope that those teams that are coming in, that have got promoted, can they please? They see where the level is. We are not saying they must come here and win the league. But can they not be Magezi, please? Win a cup and then you disappear.
Because those disappear. Never come
back. No, there will be, some teams want shortcuts. And we will also
no patience.
Yeah, no, they're impatient. You know, with us, I'll tell you something you haven't even asked is, we were top of the log early games of the season, and people spoke about us winning the league. You know, doing a Leicester, but you know, every time our chairman came to the training sessions, because he doesn't often come, but every time he's there.
This is
Simon. Yeah.
Okay. The big chairman.
Yes, Chairman Malaji. Every time he comes there, he's like, do not rush. We are in the building process. If every season we can surpass the points we've accumulated in the last season, then don't worry. Eventually, we will win the league. You understand? So it's always been about that. The mandate has always been that, yes, people can speak from outside, but we know what we want.
Yeah.
You look at now, we're on 42 points. Last season, we were 45. If we win our last two games, it puts us at 48. That is success. It's an achievement for the club. Right? Because he's always been clear. But other coaches, like I said, I'll go back to Magis. Whether the municipality, Polokwane municipality, offers you 3 million to take the game to Peter Mokab. No. Your mandate is keep the team as long as possible.
In the tough light.
That 2.7 million, bro, it's wanting to take shortcuts.
Yeah, it's a once-off.
What you see from Pirates, what you see from Sundowns, let's speak about the top four.
Sure.
Pirates, Sundowns, AmaZulu, Cheese.
Yeah.
These guys have been in the league for many, many years. Mm-hmm. It's no fluke that it's them.
And the rest.
It's us. Mm-hmm. And the rest.
sorry. It's very important.
You
very
get that?
Hey, the emphasis is on
but
us.
Yes.
Yeah,
but,
and the rest.
But it's no fluke.
Yeah.
Because you can't buy success. There's been years that
has been invested.
Kaiser Motaung, Dr. Ivan Khoza, the AmaZulu president, he was complimenting Diego the other day. When they started the season, they said they're cutting down on the overage players, older players, and they trim their squad to territory and give opportunities to some of their players. Look at what they've done. So those teams are willing to build from the ground up. But other teams, bro, people want shortcuts. And in life, there are no shortcuts. What you see here, what you see with Diego after football, it's not no shortcuts. When he was still playing, he was already positioning himself to this life. What people see with me, tomorrow you'll hear I'm going to be something big in the country. I swear. And then people
will be surprised.
People will say, he's lucky, this one. This one because he played for Pirates. Or this one because he knows this and that. Yeah, no. because I position myself. I know that I need to pay.
Yeah, you play a long game.
Yeah, you can't just want to win.
T, as our standing guest for today, I want you to take us home. We spoke, you said something so important. You said the teams that are coming need to understand what the level is and do not dilute something that is a multi-billion rand industry. This is our bread and butter for a lot of us.
Of course.
This is what puts food on the table for us. You guys performing well enables us to do our jobs, analysts to do their jobs, footballers
to get opportunities. Yeah.
So don't come and dilute where we are eating. The teams that are coming, potentially, and like Kruger that I am, what are they bringing here as you take us home with this?
Well, firstly, I like what Linda and Dick are saying in terms of playing the long game. And I believe Kruger have the potential to do that.
Okay.
I don't know if you remember, when Highlands Park got promoted the first time, they went out, they signed so many experienced players. They had Mbesuma, Tando, Kuboni, a whole lot of experienced players. Very same season, they went down. Mm-hmm. Kruger come into the PSL with people who are already experienced. Letabika's there, Morne Nel, Nzako Makubela, Telimpilo Ngema, Ibrahim Sidat. So already they've got, I believe, a squad that is capable of campaigning in there. So they shouldn't get too excited and do what start now trying to bring in every single one who's a free agent out there and come into our team just so that you want to compete or say you want to do what? Be in the top eight.
Yeah.
The idea right now is you want to survive the first season.
First season, yeah.
Give the coach some time. He knows them. He worked with them last season. He left, went to Upington City, came back, and he won promotion with them. He knows the squad. So give him that time. Don't do the same mistakes that guys before have come in and, you know, want to win. You know, I think there were some chairmen in the past who came in and say, I want to win the league. I mean, yes, eventually that's the goal people have. But if you come in and say it, this is what we want to do this season, you'll find yourself in a situation where you're going back down. They're a young club and they should treat it as such.
Yeah.
Take your time. There's no rush, you know. So that for me is the one thing that I want to see them doing. In terms of playoffs, this weekend, I mean, okay, depending on when.
By the time this comes out.
But Cape Town City potentially coming back. That would be nice. And Milford, that would be nice as well. They did well in the Nedbank Cup, so it would be nice to see them in the top five because they don't really have stars. They've got so many young players who just deserve or need an opportunity to be exposed to top flight football, to play on TV week in and week out. So if they get promoted, trust me, you'll see many of those players in big teams one day.
What a way to end the show. On that note, gentlemen, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you.
Thank you, T, for filling in for Brighton.
Thank you for the invite.
Appreciate your time.
Thank you very much. Thanks, Figo, for coming through. Eh?
Top as usual. And to you guys for staying with us. Thank you so much for watching the episode. Please do subscribe to our YouTube, comment, share the episode, and obviously let us know what your views are, whether you think Teko's finishing the grapes or not. But we
I finished the grapes
you
today.
Figo finished the grapes.
Finally, because they won't say it's new.
Yeah, they say it's you. No. But thank you for rocking with us, and we'll definitely see you on the next one. Awe. We'll be right back.